Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Part two. Amen. And we're excited that you are here. Amen. Excited to be here with the Downs family, Pastor Jonathan and Bishop. Amen. First ladies, I'm so thankful for their kindness and hospitality. We'd have just felt like family since we arrived. And I'm so grateful that we were able to come, amen, with my family. And a lot of times I have to go solo, but the church, you folks have blessed us and allowed us to me to bring the whole crew with me today. And so I'm thankful for that. Amen. I bring greetings from Fiji and the Solomon Islands. Amen. Where we currently are residing and ministering. And we're excited about what God is doing there. And we're excited about this church's investment in those countries. Amen. I know that Bishop has been to the Solomon Islands and ministered there. And Pastor Jonathan is all through the Pacific as well. So we're grateful for this church's investment. Because you know that everything they do is part of your ministry. Amen. That you are maybe haven't been to all those places, but through your prayers and through your faithfulness and through your giving, amen, you've allowed that to happen. And we're so grateful. And now these young people, we had a great time with them on Friday night. And I'm thankful for, you got a great group of young people here. And you need to be grateful for that. And you know, Pastor Jonathan said that, you know, I may just hand you the mic. Well, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Because I was in Fiji. I was sitting there. I slipped into a church, didn't tell him I was coming. And I was just sitting in there, and his name was Pastor Johnny Mara. He's since gone on to be with the Lord. And he was about 15 minutes into his message, maybe 20 minutes. And he just stops as he's walking by me and takes the mic and goes like this.
Finish it for me, brother.
And everybody just went. So I got the mic and finished it. I learned to be instant in season and out of season, Fijian style. So I don't know, the Fijian anointing may come upon me here today and may hand that off to somebody. Amen. But thank you. I know you've been standing, so let me go right to the word of the Lord. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I do feel like God, while I'm here, has given me a theme and a line to run in, so there may be some overlap. Amen. But I feel like God has given me some specific direction. So good to see each and every one. Amen. My Brother Jonathan mentioned that we served in Africa. My wife served as an aimer there for a year in Togo, in West Africa, in French West Africa. So she speaks French a little bit. Juste un peu de français, myself. But Numbers chapter 13, verse number 1, says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall ye send a man, every one, a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. I want to read that first two verses in the GW translation. And it simply reads this way, The Lord said to Moses, Send men to explore Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader each from the ancestors' tribes. Send men to explore. I want to kind of help us focus today. If there was a word that would resonate in the message I'm about to preach, it would just be focus. In a world where distractions are everywhere, and sometimes I feel like we all have a little bit of spiritual ADHD. You know, we're pulled here and screens here and screens there. My kids blow my mind. They've got three tablets and they're watching one and playing on another and doing something on the, and there are three of them and they're sitting there beside each other all doing. I'm like, how do you focus on that? There's three different things happening all at the same time. And so I want to help the church. I feel like the Lord sent me with just a message of focus. And my title is simply this: walls or promises? What's our going to be our focus? Walls or promises? Walls or promises? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your spirit that I feel in this place right now. Lord, I pray, let your anointing minister. Let your anointing flow into this place right now. Let your will be done. Let your purpose be accomplished. Help us to speak to somebody's heart and to speak to somebody's mind today. Open up their heart to receive, Lord, that your will and purpose can be accomplished. And Lord, I thank you for what you've already done in the first service. I thank you for what you've done in the worship in this service. And Lord God, I give you praise and glory in advance for what you're going to do in the season of prayer as we follow this service. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. When Pastor Jonathan was giving the announcement, I was saying amen because I'm thankful for air conditioning. Amen. I have missed this, so I feel blessed today just to be in an air-conditioned environment to preach. I get to keep my suit coat on. It's so amazing. Amen. Amen. I want to preach on walls or promises. Amen. Walls or promises. It's interesting to me if you in the scripture we read today, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send men that they may search out the land of Canaan." The GW translation said, "Send men to explore the land of Canaan, to explore Canaan." Oh, they and somehow, I don't know why, I can't explain it, but it says in Numbers chapter 13, if you continue to read on, in verse number 17, it says, "And Moses sent them." Now, I want you to know he was obeying what God said. God said to send them, and he did send them. But somewhere between Numbers 13 and 1 and Numbers 13 and 17, there became a change of priority. A change of focus. Because if you'll notice, when God said, he said, "Send them to search the land or explore the land." But when Moses actually sent them in verse number 17, it says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan." Amen. He said, "Get thee up this way, southward unto the mountain." Amen. Somewhere along the line, Moses, I believe, kind of allowed his fleshly desire and his trying to figure out how this was all going to work. Because it went from an exploration expedition to a spying expedition. Amen. If you read what Moses told them, he said, "Once you go southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that dwell therein, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be, whether they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, or whether there be wood thereon or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first grapes. And so they sent in and searched the land of the wilderness. And so it was amazing because If you'll allow me just a couple of minutes to kind of lay a little foundation here, is that Moses said, no, I want you to go there and I want you to check out some things for me. I'm sending you now with a mandate and with a point of reference. I need you to check it out and see the land, but I want you to tell me who you find there. Are they strong men? Are they weak? Are their walls thick? Or high, or are they have no walls? In other words, how I need to get a strategy. That's what Moses was trying to say. I need information. I need to be better understanding of the situation I'm going into. I got to have the answers. I got to know what I'm going to be facing because I don't want to go in blind. I want to know exactly how strong they are, how weak they are. I want to know where the strongholds are, where the big cities are, where the small cities are. I want to know where the places where it's plenty in the good rich land, and I want to know where the rocky and stony land is, and I want to know all these things because Moses was trying to make a plan. Moses' focus was, I got to figure out how I'm going to attack. Where is their weak points? Where is the strong places? I've got to figure it out. I've got to know. Does this sound like any of us sometimes? Amen. God calls us. God directs us. God implores us to go. And we're saying, okay, but I got to, and I know because I'm kind of like that. I like to know what's happening. I like to know where I'm going. And there's been times I preached about this morning where I learned lessons kind of fall into that category. But we get in that Moses was thinking ahead. He was planning, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we can get so focused on the challenges. Moses, man, these are some, and you'll see a bit later on, the men come back. The men come back after Moses sends them out. And they begin to report back to the children of Israel. And they say how wonderful it is and how nice it is. But then they say this, but there's giants there. And we just seem like grasshoppers before them. Man, they got walled cities. Jericho, the walls of Jericho were so wide that they would have chariot races around the tops of them, that two chariots wide could race. And Rahab that lived upon the wall, amen, her house was built right into the wall. It was massive. And they had big walled cities. And they had in Mount Seir and the sons of Anak and the giants that Goliath came from. And they were big and they were powerful and they were strong, and they ended up causing the children of Israel to not go into the land of promise. It caused them because they were so focused on the walls. And so many times when God, I feel like God is preparing this church, even from this morning's message into this next, where God is about to, as we move into the end time, as God begins to wrap this up and prepare to call his church home, amen, that God is going to multiply and God is going to raise the level of faith, and God is going to open up doors that are going to blow minds, and you're not going to be able to see how are we going to possibly do what God is going to do. There's promises that God is giving us. And when I begin to read unto them, when you begin to read the things that God had told them, he said in Exodus 3, all the way back in Exodus 3, it says, Moses, he said unto God, behold, when I come, or he goes down to through, and Moses, God reveals himself to Moses. Moses. Remember, I get this out. I got all tongue-tied there for a second. But God reveals himself to Moses, and he says, the I am that I am. You tell him the I am that I am has sent thee, because I'm coming to take my children out of the land of Egypt, and I'm going to bring them to a place. I want you to know something about God. He doesn't bring you out of something just to leave you there, but God brings you out of something to take you somewhere else. Amen. Too many times in church, we sometimes allow God, and we're thankful to get out of Egypt, and we're thankful to get free of the sin and free of the bondage of this world. But we must not forget that God didn't just raise us up so we could sit and take up space. But God has brought you out so that he can take you somewhere. God has brought you from that place to take you to a better place. Amen. We're not in a spiritual purgatory. Amen. We're on our way to a journey. We're on our way to a place. Amen. Abraham said it. I'm searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I left this world, but I'm searching for something greater. So he said, I'm taking you not just out of Egypt. I'm not just removing you from your problems. Amen. But God said, I'm going to take you to a new place. I'm going to take you. And he said, in verse number 16, he said, go gather the elders of Israel. This is in Exodus chapter 3. He said, go gather the elders of Israel. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, appeared unto me saying, this is what he said, you tell them, I have surely visited you, and I have seen what is done to you in Egypt. Let me just say that. God knows exactly where you are and exactly what is going on in your life. You can say that I don't understand, and you're probably right. Amen. There is such a litany and such a massive a spectrum of issues and struggles and trials and obstacles that everybody in this room faces on a daily basis that would try to prevent you from achieving in this world what God has intended for you to do. And I'm standing up here, I'll be honest, ignorant of probably 99% of those things that God or that you are dealing with. But I want you to know today that I'm speaking on behalf of a God who knows exactly what you're going through. And not only that, he says we serve a God that was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. That he was tempted in all manners like we are, yet without sin. In other words, he's saying, I've been to where you are. I've been through what you've been through. And you know what? I love it when he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know what I loved about that? That's like God saying, I've been where you are, and I got the t-shirt. Amen. I have been there. I've overcome it. I've defeated it. Amen. And if you'll follow me, I'll take you from this place into a land that I will give you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why he says, don't just tell him I'm taking you out of Egypt. But he said, and I have said, verse 17, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. In other words, I love that part of the scripture because he was acknowledging that there were some things there that they were going to have to fight against. Now, let me be really clear. Sometimes when we study the Old Testament, we think that the promised land is a type of heaven. It's not a type of heaven. Because if you study heaven, you know there's no more sorrows, there's no more tears, there's no more strife. I'm not going to have battles, I'm not going to have fights. It's going to be a place where, you know, the Lamb is the light, you know, all of those things. So In this promised land, there's battles. There's things that you go through. There's things that you're going to come up against. And so this is not a type of heaven. What this is a type of is we've been brought out of sin, but into the land of promises. It's a place where God has promised us, like we talked about on Friday night. He promised us he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. He promised us that he was faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. He promised us that when he said, when you repent and you're baptized in Jesus' name, he didn't say you might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are promises of God. Amen. The scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. So if I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing the best that I can, if I find myself in a problem or a situation, I can walk with boldness still, because I know that just because I'm in a problem doesn't mean I'm outside the will of God. Amen. If listen, there's sometimes God brings you out of stuff, and there's other times God just walks with you through the stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. And so here we are. God is bringing them into the land of promise. He's bringing them into a place where they can experience the blessings and the provision and the power of God. It's not a place absent of adversity and absent of challenges. I don't know about you, but it sounds like the life of an apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled person. Amen. That came out of sin, but come into a land that the enemy doesn't want to give it up, but they too late, because God has already promised it to me. God has already said he's going to do it. And so that's why when I walk out of this place on a Sunday afternoon, I don't walk away timid and afraid. I walk in with boldness, because God said, be go, my Lord, have mercy. Amen. There's somebody that when you begin to fight the fights you fight and the enemy tries to convince you that you're done, you need to look him in the face and say, but God said. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, man, my kids, when I growl them or I try to correct them and say, and maybe take something away from them, and they are really quick to remind me of my words when they say, but Dad, you said. And you know what I have to do? Yeah, you're right. You know what? I love, that's what I love about, this is the beauty of the Word of God. God said, I said it, and now you've got proof of it. So when you're starting to go through it and you're not, and you don't understand all the details, you can say, but God, you said. And because you said it, because you promised it, God is able to perform it. That's why the scripture says that God is not slack concerning his promises. If God said it, he's able to do it. He's able to perform it. And so here we have the Lord speaking to them. He said, I'm taking you from the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites. He said, I'm taking you into that land. And I know there's going to be obstacles, but he said, let me get you to focus on what I need you to focus on. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now sometimes I feel like a little Bible study time here, but sometimes we read that and we don't really quite get everything he's saying when he says a land flowing with milk and honey. What that means is when it's flowing with milk, that's referring to livestock. Because as a mother reproduces, amen, she has milk with which to feed those young ones. And so that is speaking of reproduction. It's talking that the herds are growing, that they're healthy, that there is livestock there. You've been eating manna, and you've been eating maybe a little bit of quail one time, but every day. But God said, I'm taking you to a land that is going to be flowing with milk. That means you're going to have steak. Anybody in here loves some steak in the house right now? Amen. He said, you're going to have some pork. Ooh, I had some pork the other night. Amen. He said, you're going to, oh, maybe not the Jews. They ain't going to be having pork, sorry. Preach a little false doctrine there. I just cut that off the video. But Amen. But they are going to have venison. They're going to have those things with which they were lacking in their wilderness experience. Yes, they had some miraculous, but he said, I want you to go into the land of promise, because you can take the miraculous from the, some of us just live in wilderness experiences and we have supernatural demonstrations in our wilderness experiences, but God is calling us into the land of promise. And you know what? I know that there's challenges in the land of promise, but God said, I have given it to you. I will bring you there. I will give it a land flowing with milk and honey. Honey refers to the crops, because bees pollinate crops. When you have a healthy hive of bees around, thousands and thousands of bees, that means you're going to have healthy orchards. You're going to have orchards. You're going to have crops of plenty because they're pollinating. And what he was telling them is, you're not just going to a land that's barren, but I'm taking you to a land that is a blessed place where it's got something to eat. You're going to have plenty in that place. It's going to be provided for. Amen. He goes on to tell them in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, for the Lord bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains and of depths and springs and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and a land of honey. Oh, when I begin to read that, God is telling them, this is my promise. This is my promise. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that's got provision and blessings. He said, let me even give you a little bit deeper. And that's what I just read. He said, it's not just a good land. It's a land of brooks of water. There's no drought here. It's not a desert here. It's got fountains and depths out of the valleys and the hills. It don't matter if you're on the hill or in the valley. When you dig, you're going to find water. You're going to find sustenance. Oh my Lord. Amen. It don't matter where you are in your walk with God, whether you're on a hilltop or whether you're on a valley. When you start digging into the land of promise, you're going to find blessing. You're going to find sustenance. You're going to find refreshing. I don't know about you, but I've been through some tough times, but I can go into a place of prayer and I can bury myself and I can begin to talk in tongues a little bit. And before long, there's a joy that begins to spring forth in my spirit. Why is that? Because that's what you find in the land of promise. Hallelujah. He gave him six things. Six things he listed there. He said, it's a land of wheat, and I don't have time today to go through what they all mean. The land of wheat and the land of barley and vines and figs and pomegranates and the land of olive oil and the land of honey. He said, you're going to have all that stuff there. And he tells them all this. He told them all this. And then he told Moses, send them in to explore. He said, when they go into this season, tell them to focus on the promises. He said, when you step across and you start walking into that land, he says, you look over there. Just think about this. All they saw was they come back and they were so focused on Anak and the walls of the city and how great the people were and how strong they were and how big the enemy was and how impossible this situation was and where walls and enemy. And the whole time they were looking at them, they were walking through grain fields. They were walking through fields of barley and they didn't even bother to check. There was olive trees, there was pomegranate trees, and they walked by those trees, but they didn't stop to scan the hillside to look at the provisions that God had given them, the olive trees and the pomegranates. And he didn't look at all of those things when they went into, not just, they became a spying expedition instead of an exploration. When they were exploring and confirming the things that God God had told them. God said, don't worry, there's going to be some Hivites, Perizzites, all of the ites are going to be there. But he said, let me get you to focus on the fact that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of blessing. It's a land of provision. You know why he didn't really focus on how great they were and focus on, yes, we got Anak and we got this city and that city? Because this was a battle that they were not going to be responsible to overcome. Amen. It wasn't their job to say whether God was going, how God was going to do it. If Moses was not the general, God was the general. Oh, man, I got to finish. But you know what? It's like this. You remember when they finally went into the land of promise and Joshua went to see, and he was about to go in Joshua chapter 1, and he comes upon this guy who was an angel of the Lord, and he said, what did he say his position was? He was in charge of he was in charge of God's military might. He's in charge of the armies of the Lord. That's what he said. And Joshua fell down before him and said, you know what? I'm so sorry. We're with you. We're with you. And he said, are you for me or against me? You know what? You know what that's telling you? That's telling you, Joshua, you are fighting, but you're not the one in charge of the strategic battle plan. He said, as a matter of fact, Joshua, when you're looking at how to defeat Jericho, don't worry about it. I just need you to make sure you're sanctified. In other words, I need you to make sure you're prepared spiritually, that you've cleansed yourself, that you've been forgiven. Oh, doesn't that sound a lot like living for God? Amen. You make sure that your sins are washed away, that you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And as you walk out of here in that magnitude, all I need you to do is walk around the walls. Whew. All I need you is to walk to church on Sunday. All I need you to do is show up to church on Sunday and do what God has called you to do. Go where God has called you to go. And you may not understand exactly how God's going to do. How is me walking around this dumb wall every day for 7 days going to accomplish anything? But you see, what Joshua had begun to understand, something that Moses didn't. I'm not in charge of the military. God is. I'm not in charge of defeating the adversary. God is. The scripture said it. He told Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, stop worrying about everything. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I'm here to tell somebody, amen, you're walking through the land of promise. You've come in here today. Don't stop focusing on all the problems and the walls that you're going to face when you go home. Quit letting them overwhelm you in this sanctuary, but instead let's start focusing on the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the provision of God. I'm here to tell you that we're living in a season where walls surround us, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We can sometimes get in that mode, and I got to stop right now. We get in that mode where all I can see is walls. And God's saying, stop focusing on the walls and start focusing on the promises. He said, I brought you out, and I will bring you in. I brought you. Did you save yourself? Isn't it amazing? We can believe God for salvation to bring us out, but we struggle with believing God to bring us in. Man, it's good preaching, whether you like it or not, it's good. You hear what I'm saying? Hey, man, we need to get to that place where we come in and we're downcast and we're discouraged because we've spent all week long looking the walls and the things that are trying to overwhelm us instead of focusing on the things of God, the blessings of God. I tell you what, you know, you need to get encouraged. Go get in the Word of God. Amen. When you start reading this, you start understanding why God's doing what he's doing, and you start trusting him more. Amen. That's why Joshua walked around the walls all that time. It's because he said, I've seen the...
my Lord. He said, I was there when everybody else was looking at walls. I was looking at everything else. I was, my Lord. You know what he was saying? God said exactly when he said, when I went out and explored, everything God said was going to be there was there. Someone needs to get a hold of that right now. Amen. I don't care what somebody else tells you. Everything you need in God is here today. Amen. Everything you need in God. Every time somebody gets up and testifies and they begin to tell it, you know what they're saying? Everything that God said in his word is in the house today. As we stand together in the house. Hallelujah. Oh, at another time. On another time, I'll talk about the fact in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's two different people here. There's those that are coming into the land, and then there's those that have been living in the land for a while. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, tells the story of when Ammon and Moab and Seir, the same people who discouraged them from going into the promised land, were the same cats that were now trying to destroy them while they were still in the promised land. And they were afraid. They had them surrounded. They had them. Whew. And the children of Israel were now, Pastor, they were now not on the outside trying to get in, but now they were on the inside of the walls, worried whether they were going to hold out the enemy. And once again, their focus became more on the walls than on the promises that God had given them. Jehoshaphat was so scared. He was so scared that the enemy was going to come in and destroy them. As he said this, he began to pray and he said, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." But then he says this, "But our eyes are on thee." He said, when I got looking at the walls, I got worried whether the walls could hold out the enemy. You see, there's two sides. When you're coming into the land of promise, you're worried whether the God can tear down the walls. But then we build hedges of protection around us once we get in the promised land. And then we start wondering, all the world is corrupt and all the things that are going on, that's crazy. We start wondering whether those walls can hold out the enemy. But Jehoshaphat had it right when he said, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." But he said, "I'm not looking at the walls anymore." He said, "My eyes are upon thee." Let me just tell you one more thing. If you skip down and he says, oh, let me just tell you what God says. And God said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, for thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." Are you getting what I'm saying? Quit trying to be the general. We got too many people trying to be the general of the armies of God instead of being a servant of God and trusting God to do what God's gonna do. So you know what Jehoshaphat did? He said, "I'm taking off my coat as king and general, and I'm focused upon God." And this is what he said. He said, "Believe in the Lord your God." This is verse number 20. "So that ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so ye shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise God in the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." You know how we fight the enemy is not with stones and not with guns or not with missiles or not with that. He said, "I'm going to tell you folks, we're not the general. What we are is the worshipers." Because when you, Lord, you know what you do when you worship? When you're worshiping, you're focusing on Him. You're focusing on what God has, what God can do. Amen. When you begin to worship, you know what you're doing? You're saying, you are my healer. You are my provider. You are my deliverer. You are the blesser of my soul. You are. And you know what happens? We stop focusing on the Moabs. We stop focusing on the challenges and the walls before us, and our eyes are on Him. So today, oh, I love this. I'm over for number 22. Just go to number 22 real fast. It says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord. The Lord set up ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They didn't fight. They didn't do anything. You know what they did? They acknowledged Him. They focused on Him. And when they began, I tell you what, God is waiting for someone to begin to focus on the promises and stop focusing on the walls. We all know they're there. God knows they're there, but He's the general. He's the general. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would overshadow this house right now. Lord God, as many are battling and as many are going through situations and trials and tribulations, Lord, I pray right now that there would be a change of focus, that there would be a change of direction. Lord God, let us lean upon You. Let us trust in the Lord. Amen. Some men trust in horses and some men trust in chariots, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in here right now. I feel a focus. I feel a spirit of praise. I feel a spirit of worship. And when you begin to praise God, when you begin to worship Him, God begins to set ambushments. God begins to fight battles. God begins, I feel God about to do that in this place right now.